Tonight, we've been on it for two Sunday nights. Revelation 18 and 17. And this is talking about Babylon in this chapter. And Babylon, of course, means confusion. If we'll keep that definition in mind, you'll understand more about this chapter. Babylon means confusion. And we know what confusion is. Confusion is the opposite of order. Peace and quietness. And the 17th verse of this 18th chapter says, "For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off." Now that's as far as we're going in that verse, even though that's not the end of the verse, not the end of that line of thought. But anyway, this is talking about riches. Now, I remember reading one time a story about some raiders. I'm not talking about the San Francisco Raiders now. They're on the news nearly every day. But back there in the American Civil War, there were some raiders that came into southwest Missouri. And they were Southern soldiers. And they kidnapped a Negro woman and her boy, who was just a toddler at that time. They kidnapped this couple, this woman and little boy, from a farm called the Grover Diamond Farm. And this Grover Diamond Farm was owned by a man by the name of Carver. Well, Mr. Carver finally got the boy back, but he never did find the mother. He got the boy back by swapping a fine racehorse for this boy. But this boy, a tiger at that time, was destined to become a great man for mankind and also for God. This Mr. Carver called him George Washington, named after the first president. So his full name was George Washington Carver. And as he grew up in his teens, George Washington Carver was not very strong. He was very weakly, very sick. But anyway, he worked his way through high school, and then he went to Iowa State College, Agricultural College of the state of Iowa, for 4 years, and got a degree in agriculture called MS degree in agriculture. And that was in 1896. Also in 1896, the president of Tuskegee Institute in Alabama called him to be the head of the Department of Agriculture in that school in Tuskegee, Alabama. George Washington Carver accepted that invitation, and he stayed there as head of the Department of Agriculture in that school for 47 years. And in that 47 years, he did not get a raise in salary. He got only $29 a week for 47 years. Now, the head of that institution wanted several times to give him a raise, but George Washington Carver says, "I do not want it. My needs are small, and I want to see these boys, my pupils, get the benefit of an education. I'm not get the money. Don't care about the dollar. I want these boys to get a good education. These Negro boys." And for 47 years, he taught nobody. He wouldn't allow a white boy in his class. Not one. Always black boys. And he sent hundreds of black boys out of that school, the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, sent them out into the world to benefit mankind and also worship God as born-again men. Mr. Thomas A. Edison at one time offered Carver $100,000 a year if he would join Edison's staff. Carter said, no, I do not want that kind of money. I will not join your staff, Mr. Edison. I'd rather stay here in this place, Tuskegee Institute, and teach my boys at $29 a week. And so he did. Money meant nothing to him, but he believed in helping his race and helping humanity through that race. Now then, right here, let's go back to this verse. For in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught. 1 hour. Think about it. That means suddenly, swiftly, riches faded away, just like a snowball on a hot stove in the month of August. Riches. They don't stay very long. P.T. Barnum. P.T. Barnum was a famous circus showman. You people remember P.T. Barnum. I don't know whether you know anything about his circus or not, but he was a multimillionaire in just a short while after he started his business of showmanship. And when that man was dying at the age of 82, he was near Madison Square Garden in New York City, and the last words on his lips was a question about the big show's gate receipts in Madison Square Garden. That's all the man could think about was the dollar. How much did we make tonight at the gate receipts? How much? And then he passed on into eternity. You know, money, my friends, won't do us much good after we're dead. None much good. P.T. Barnum is a pauper. He lives in poverty in eternity because he did not spend his millions to glorify God in this life. And John says, for in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught. You know what Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 6 and 7? For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. The only thing we're going to carry out of this world is the coffin we're put in, and the suit of clothes we're wearing, and they won't even put shoes on our feet. 1 Timothy 6 and 7. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. We'll leave everything here to our heirs that they might have a fight over. Lawsuits? Yeah, that's right. All right, for in 1 hour so great riches has come from all. Babylon. Babylon is a rich place, and they've come from all. Nothing. Riches? Oh, you bet. Just glutted with riches. Like a fat man that's glutted with fat. And every shipmaster, anybody know how many ships there are in the Pacific, Atlantic, and Indian Oceans today? Anybody know how many ships are floating in those oceans today? Anybody know? Can you answer that question? How many ships? Why, they're sailing around the world all the time. Coming to the Los Angeles Harbor, New York Harbor, San Francisco, New Orleans, Miami Beach. They're landing in those places all the time and leaving all the time. The oceans are full of ships. You know that, brother. Men are getting immensely rich off of oil and cargo. That's what this is talking about. Every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea. Lots of trade going on by sea, brethren. Lots of trade. Men are becoming multimillionaires. The richest man we met in Greece, when I went to Palestine, and I'm sure you stopped off at Athens or Corinth on your way to Palestine, didn't you? You didn't stop in Athens? We did. Our airplane parked in Athens, and we stayed there about 30 minutes. And the richest man we saw, I mean, he had 2,000 airplanes right out there on that field. I can't think of his name right now. And there was 1,000 ships of his right out there in the harbor, Athens Harbor. Yeah, Onassis, thank you, that's his name. As the richest man we met on our trip. that's what this is talking about, brethren. That's what this verse is talking about. Sailors. every shipmaster, that means every captain, and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? Well, their wealth is going up in smoke. Dollars are being burned. Somebody said, do you have money to burn? Well, these people did. They had lots of money to burn. And it's going up in smoke, and they don't like it, so they're crying about it. The 19th verse says, and they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had shipped in the sea, by reason of her. Our word costliness right there means valuable merchandise. You know, every time they spill a gallon of water, every time they spill a gallon of oil in any of these harbors around California, everybody gets up in the air and they say, oh my, stop it! Let's stop it! Those poor penguins, those birds, they're going to be weighted down and they'll drown in the ocean. Oh, it's pitiful. Let's stop it. Well, they're really crying over the oil. Because they don't want that oil wasted. You know, it's expensive now. The least expensive oil I can find in Lancaster cost me $1.48 a gallon. And that's at a cut-rate price, too. That's right, that's a cut-rate price. $1.48 9 cents. That's $1.49 a gallon. That's as cheap as I can find in Lancaster. Well, when oil is spilled on the harbors or on the oceans, they go crying. Yes, sir. Wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her valuable cargo. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Now you young men, you boys, I'm talking to you right now. If you want to grow up and be rich men, you get in the shipping business. I mean, if you get in the airplane business or in the shipping business, and you will be a multi-millionaire in 1 year's time. I mean, they make the money, Brother Jim. You know they do. Men that work in ships, men that work in airplanes, they make money hand over fist, as we say. And that's a picture we have right here. Wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her valuable cargo, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. Didn't take very long, just 60 minutes. So if you want to make money fast and lose it fast, well, get into the shipping business. All right, let's go to verse number 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. God has gotten vengeance. Somebody says he's a God of love, as I said this morning, but he's not a God of love. He's also a God of vengeance. And he's going to avenge his holy prophets, holy apostles and prophets. Those apostles lived in New Testament times, and the prophets lived in Old Testament times, and they had to suffer for their belief, for their stand for the truth, and now God is getting vengeance. Let's go to verse 21. The mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone. Now, Brother Tom, in the New Testament, there were two kinds of millstones. That was the small millstone that was turned by women. You know, men back in those centuries were too good to turn millstones. They grind out the corn and all, or the wheat, or the barley, or the rye. They were too good. So they turned it over to the women. And these women turned these small grindstones. They could do it by hand. Now, this is a great millstone right here. And these millstones had to be turned by donkey. It's a pair of donkeys, you know, to these millstones. And they go round and round, round and round, round and round, turning those huge millstones, grinding out the grain, whatever it was. And that's what this is. Now, this angel picks up a giant millstone, and he hurls it into the ocean. Boy, hits the water with a great splash. And then he knocks that grain and sea dry. Yeah, that's what it does. And cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city of Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. the violence. That's the way Babylon will go out. It won't go out slowly. Some of these frontier towns, ghost towns in California, it took them years and years to go out. People would move out just one family at a time, And finally, over a certain length of time, they'd become ghost towns. But this city right here is going to become a ghost town suddenly. This great millstone right here is a good illustration of it. Let's go to verse 22. And the voice of harpers. Now, a harper is a man who plays a harp. And a harp can furnish some of the most beautiful music that ever fell on human ears. I don't know whether you boys have ever heard a harp or not, but I do love to listen to a harp. I remember going down to Knott's Berry Farm one time, way back yonder in 1957, and that was an aged lady. An aged lady that was playing on a harp, an old-fashioned harp, that stood up high, and she sat down on a chair, and she would pluck the strings of that harp as she sat in this chair. And she was so old-fashioned that she wouldn't play rock music or dance music or anything on this harp. It was always Amazing Grace or How Firm a Foundation or The Saving Blood of Jesus or something of that kind. All that melody, oh, how it made the heart leap with joy. A harp. And that's what this is right here. A voice, the sound of harpers making music. Now, it doesn't say what kind of music they make, but they're making music on these harps. All right. And musicians, the voice of harpers and musicians. We live in a day of musicians. We live in a day, brethren, when they're cutting records one right after the other, and every musician is trying to surpass every other musician in selling his recordings. And take men like Johnny Cash and Tennessee Ernie Ford and others who have made recordings. Those boys are millionaires. And some of these guys that are recording their rock music, some of these young people, the age of Junior back there, and David and Gary, they just go crazy over rock music. I'm not saying those boys do, but some of these young people, they'll go down to the music store, and that's all they want. They play those records of rock music, you know. Boy, that's what they want. That's what they buy. And millions of records are sold every year of rock music. All right, you got to see these three men again. And making themselves at home. We're going to have a check this about to close this term. Let's see somebody else coming in. The audience will be messed up in good fashion. Okay? Yep, here comes somebody else. Well, it's 7 o'clock. It's just about time to close out. It's closing time. Glad to see Ben and Don. Ben, we're in the 18th chapter of Revelation, if you would turn. We're talking about rock music. We found some right here. Rock music. 22nd verse of the 18th chapter of Revelation. We were talking about harpers and musicians. You remember Les Brown and his band of renown? Oh yeah, everybody knows about him. Les Brown and his band of renown. All right, we got it right here. I'm so old that I remember Paul Whiteman and his orchestra.
So what?
You're not that old.
I remember it was Whiteman Phil.
Paul Whiteman. And they called it the most beautiful music this side of heaven. Well, I didn't think so. No. But anyway, this is talking about the great orchestras of the earth. Musicians. Yeah. Musicians. Hollywood has musicians, Las Vegas has musicians, Reno has musicians, San Francisco, wherever you go nowadays, they've got to have music. and alcohol. They go together. Orchestras and alcohol and drugs. They think they can't play well unless they have the drugs seeping out of the pores of their skin. And alcohol seeping out the pores of the skin. Then they can play better. They can make better music. I heard a man on KNX radio last week say that this rock music is doing damage to the ears of young people because it's so harsh and so loud. And I think the man was telling the truth, too. Young people's ears are being deafened early in life because they're listening to this loud, raucous, harsh rock music. I don't like it myself, and when it comes on the radio or the TV, I turn it off. I don't want that junk. Not me, I'm too old. I don't have to listen to it. But these young people love it. Rock music. Well, they can have it. They can have it if they want it. I don't want it. And the next part says, and the pipers. Pipers. Now that means an instrument you can pick up, put it to your mouth, and blow. You know, Brother Baker's daughters do that. What are those instruments called? Come on, somebody tell them.
Clarinet and flute.
Flute? Are those called flutes?
One is a clarinet.
One's a clarinet, the other's a flute. Are they right? Are they right? Okay. That's what these are right here, these pipers. Clarinets and flutes. They're instruments that you put to your mouth and blow, and they make beautiful music. Yes, sir, pipers. That's what it means in the Greek text. Okay. And trumpeters? Well, I tell you, brother, the bugle can make very beautiful music. Make very beautiful music. You can keep it off of dance tunes and things of that kind. But that's what they use trumpets for nowadays, is to play this dance music and have the men and women, boys and girls, swinging around the dance floor. And incidentally, these musicians and trumpeters, bugle players, make lots of money every year. Yeah, they do. Every year they make lots of money. New York City, Los Angeles, Berlin, sometimes they'll bring a whole orchestra from Berlin, Germany, or London, England over here, and they travel this land playing their instruments and making money. And that's what this is talking about right here. Trumpeters, orchestras, and the voice of harpers and musicians and of flutes, clarinets, and bugles shall be heard no more at all in thee. The music will be gone, the sacred music will be gone, and the fast dance music will be gone. It'll all be gone. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. No more grinding of grain. No more milling business will go on. That's what he's talking about. The milling business will be out of business. All right. Let's keep going now. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. You know, we can apply that to electric light systems in this world today. Electric lights, that's right. There will be no more electric lights in the city of Babylon. That's what it means. They used candles in the days of John. Not now. We don't know what a candle is. They've gone out. The light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. You know, people now don't get married in Lancaster. No, sir. Preachers in this city have run out of business as far as marrying couples is concerned. Because California is so strict. You've got to have a blood test. You've got to have some other tests before you get married in California. So what do? They run to Las Vegas. Yeah, they run to Las Vegas. And there they get married on a quickie style. And then they come back to California, and everything's okay. That's the reason I haven't married a couple in more than 2 years. Because they've all gone to Las Vegas. All right. The voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. And by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Merchants. It didn't say these merchants were the great men of Babylon, but these merchants were the great men of the earth. Great men of the earth, brethren. And that's the reason I've said here from time to time that I believe that the city of Babylon represents this earth itself. That's why I keep bringing that up. Because this is talking about not the merchants of a city, but the merchants of the earth. I read of a man one time, a grocerman, who was visited by a preacher. And this preacher said, "Mister, why don't you come to church?" He said, "You used to." And this grocerman said, "Listen, preacher, I am so busy selling groceries and making money that I do not have any time to go to church." Well, that preacher said, "Let's go to prayer." So they got right down on their knees right there in the middle of that grocery store, and the preacher prayed. Didn't do that grocerman any good. He still stayed right in church. He said, "Man, listen, I'm making too much money. I'm getting rich. I work 7 days a week. I've got good health. I've got a good heart. I've got a good circulatory system. Why shouldn't I make money?" That preacher said, "Well, what are you going to do when you die?" "Oh," he said, "I'll leave it to my heirs." Yeah, and that's all he did. All right. The great merchants of the earth. That's what this means right here. Merchants of the earth were the great men of the earth. And by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Sorceries there is from a word which means drugs. A pharmacy. Drugs. All nations were deceived by drugs. Yep. You know, they even say that the drug business has invaded the Dallas Cowboys. What? The Dallas Cowboys? The Los Angeles Dodgers? Yeah! It may be a lie. It may be a lie, brethren, but you know that story goes around? Drugs. Those guys make lots of money. They make more than $1 million a year. Some of those athletes do. That's fact. They've got the money to buy drugs from pushers off the street. "Mom, give me a dough, boy. I'm some of that dough." So they hand it over. They get the cocaine, the LSD, the other high-powered drugs. They take it off in the secret, and they use it. Mm-hmm. Sorceries. Pharmacy. We get our English word pharmacy from this word. Drugs. By thy pharmacy, by thy drugs, were all nations deceived. Even Begin, Menachem Begin in Israel, in Jerusalem, has trouble with his men in the drug business. Yeah, cocaine. Spell about it. Well, the Dodgers, you know the Dodgers have won some games recently from the Atlanta team. Oh, just knock them down one right after the other. Well, LaSarver said if you boys will get off of drugs, you'll start winning. And they did. They started winning. Yeah. I don't know what they did in the last game. I don't know whether they won or lost. They won. Know
they won.
Sir, beg pardon?
They won.
Oh, good for the Dodgers. You get them off of drugs, boys, then they can do something. They start hitting the ball. Yeah, they start catching those flies and those ground skins. When you get them off of drugs. Well, all right. Let's go to verse 24, and then we're going to quit. "And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth." Now this is another reason why the city is not a literal city like Los Angeles or Lancaster, but it's a city that represents the whole world, this whole earth in which we live. Let's read that verse again. "And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints." Saints, God's people. "And of all that were slain upon the earth." That means something, brethren. I know there are lots of Bible scholars who say that this is a certain city and it's going to be built again on the river Euphrates. Oh, I don't think that. No. No. I think those boys are wrong. PhD men, DD men, I mean men with high scholarship, say, "Why, this is going to be a city of Babylon built on the Euphrates." That's what this is talking about. I don't agree with a word of it. No. We've had a good crowd here tonight, and I appreciate your coming. And that finishes the chapter, Barry. That finishes the chapter. And that 18th chapter is very beautiful. And next time we're going to study the 19th chapter, and in that 19th chapter we find the marriage that cannot be complete, because it cannot be completed sanctuary. Glad to have everybody here tonight. We're glad to have you for us, and Gerald, and all these young people. It looks good to see the young people increasing in this church, and we hope that this time next week, these here will be able to bring some others with them. That'll take twice as many as we have now. Twice as many. You can bring something to make us feel, feel pleased about that. Yeah. Any word from you now for Sister Speed?
We're going to have a group that is going to work afternoon in church next Saturday. We're going to start at 4, then about 6:30 to 7 o'clock we'll eat. Everybody bring hot dogs, and then one step free to bring out the same one from the free to make them take it to them.
That's next Saturday, beginning about 4 o'clock. You want to be sure to get that correct. Next Saturday at 4 o'clock. People have love ice cream, milk cake, cookies. You can't? Oh, that's too bad. Oh, you have to go to San Diego? Oh, that's too bad. You can just do that. Our Bernie Ben, we're glad to have you here tonight, and that's Brother Ben, Brother Spiegel, and Brother Don. Bernie Ben, we're glad to have you here tonight. Well, everybody else was here this morning. The Ben three men have not been here this morning. That's what I'm thinking of here, and we're both. Okay. I would expect to have those two girls on that little Daniel here next Sunday. They'll be here next Sunday. That hearing is next Friday. Very important hearing, too. What do you think? Okay? 5 o'clock in the morning? 8 o'clock? 2 o'clock. As we were going, we're ahead of everybody behind us. We're doing the Lord's Prayer. And I'm asking Brother Don to listen to us, please. Dear Father in heaven, we do thank you for the opportunity to be together, to study the Word, and listen to what you have to say. Thank you for your promise that you're with us. We ask your help for this week. We live our lives and we'll be pleasing you. Thank you for those who have baptized this morning. And the public testimony to put forward. We're blaming you. That's your blessing and